One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hi.
Hi.
We all just took an edible each.
Becca included.
Becca included. So if the audio sounds crazy, blame it on them.
How are you?
I'm good. Earlier, Ted was like, what did you do today, babe? It's 4 p.m., right? He comes home from work. He's like, tell me, what have you done today? I couldn't answer. Does that happen to you guys? I had nothing to say. And he was like, well, just say one thing that you did today. And genuinely, I didn't know what to say. Like, I black out during my work day. Mm-hmm. And then when he gets home, I remember to check back in with my body.
But you're smoking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't happen to me. I'm always, like, scary sober while I'm working, which is probably why my work deeply affects me.
Yeah.
Well, because I would do a really bad – I'm not, like – why I was anxious to take an edible just now, like, I'm really not a productive person when I'm high at all.
Right. I smoke to be productive.
Yeah, different.
I've always said this. I have a lifetime goal of going on Survivor, but I've always said if I could have one thing, like my comfort item to bring on Survivor, it would be weed.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could have weed on Survivor, I would win. And if I have to do Survivor sober, I don't think I'll win.
Because you'd be like relaxed enough?
Smoking for me puts me at ease so that I'm able to do what I need to do. That's like why I smoke all day. It's not because I'm like trying to be a giggly stoned idiot. It's because it allows me to do what I need to do. Otherwise, my thoughts get too in the way of my day to day. But when I'm stoned, I'm like, that's me sending an email. Hi. I'm like, hey,
I want to try, but you go into like camera on meetings.
Literally, I usually hit the joint right before my camera on meetings. In one of the companies that I work for, it's very weed positive, and I've explained this to them before. I'm like, genuinely, I smoke to like put my nervous system at ease. It is no disrespect, and they're like, cool. Like you do a great job at everything you do. You're attentive in meetings and not weird. I feel like most of the paranoia around being high at work is like hiding it.
Yeah.
If you didn't have to hide it, like I've literally said before in a meeting, sorry, I misdosed and my edible just hit really hard. Apologies if I'm rambling. And everyone was like, ha 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 ha. No, you weren't. What you just said was helpful. Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, it's interesting how different things work with different people. That would not fly at my job or for me personally.
Yeah.
I would just freak out. I'm just in the same way. Like, also like what you said. Yeah. The anxiety of trying to hide that you're high.
Mm-hmm.
If I take like one hit and I'm like, I can be chill about this. The second I see someone, I'm like, sorry, I'm really high. Like, I just feel like I can't, you know, whatever. But I love that works for you. I love that you found a formula, and I would love to find something similar that works for me because I'm pretty stressed all the time.
Yeah, maybe like a heavy anxiety med could work for you. Because
mm-hmm.
cannabis is, or like weed specifically, is good for a lot of people with like PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And I have PTSD. I'm not going to diagnose you, but you know, you've had some shit go down.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the weed keeps the thoughts away.
God.
It keeps the thoughts away.
Yeah.
It keeps the thoughts away.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That rocks.
Yeah, it totally rocks, girl.
How was your week?
Last Friday night, my boyfriend went out on a date. And I like poured myself a glass of wine and I was like, I'm gonna have a glass of wine and then like go to bed early and do self-care, like li li la la. And then I ended up having more than a glass of wine and I didn't realize, but I drank like most of the bottle.
Damn.
And I saw just like a tiny amount left in the bottom of the bottle. And that's when I realized that like I had finished most of it and I was like, oh shit. And I, in my drunk state, looked at it and said, harm reduction, and put it in the fridge instead of finishing it.
Wow.
That's powerful. My drunk self was like, harm reduction. I'm learning it. I'm incorporating it for myself. This is self-care. That's this is powerful. Wellness.
Yeah.
I'm someone who I'm in the wellness industry.
Yeah.
And I'm fit and I'm different and I'm free.
Yeah.
From the chains of this bottle of wine.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Because a past me would have just threw it back because I'm like, this isn't enough to save.
You're like, dare. D-A-R-E.
Literally.
You know?
Dare to live.
What's it stand for? Dare. Drugs.
Drugs are really evil. Yeah. That's it. I'm sure that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jules, how was your week?
It was great. I went on a date this week, and I know what you're all thinking. What? Like, you told us over and over you weren't going to do that for the past couple weeks. You've been saying that's been your whole thing. Well, go fuck yourself. You guys ever been horny before? That shit sucks.
No, for real.
So yeah.
No, like, you could be celibate if you were also getting fucked. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, that's yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I did go. Listen, a hot person can convince. I could go on national TV mm-hmm. and say with my full chest, I'm celibate.
Yeah.
I'm not dating anymore. I'm single.
Yeah.
If a hot person then was like, can I take you out? I'd be like, yes. Yeah. I wouldn't even hesitate. And the same, you know, like,
if you like wrote a book about like celibacy and you were like doing a whole press tour where you really needed to promote the lifestyle mm-hmm. and then like a single person DMs you, you'd be like,
I'm manless. Yeah. 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 So I did go on a date. I did a couple weird things on it. I'll be real.
I'm so excited to hear.
First of all, on the date, I'm like, I kind of go into it. I'm feeling confident. Mm. We knew of each other. Mm. So we go on this date and I got there first and I'm feeling confident. Mm. I'm feeling good. They come in and they sit down. We're like having a good time. And at one point during the date, probably like two drinks in, they're like, you're really funny. And I go, thank you so much. And I'm sure you are so good at whatever you do. Mood killer.
Yeah, what?
Why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
Weird as fuck. That's, yeah. They were like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's literally fake. What you said was a lie.
Although they had already told me what they had done.
Right.
And they do. And I know what they do. And for some, and that was the problem of just not being able to take a fucking compliment.
Right.
I should have just been like, thank you.
I think you and I should practice immersion therapy where we like try this scenario again and see
sure,
how
go
you
ahead.
Could. Okay. Jules, you're so, so funny.
Thank you so much. You have been making me LOL as well. That's better.
That was better, but really,
really weird. Yeah. Okay. And my exact delivery on this date was, I literally was like, thank you so much. And I'm sure you are so good at whatever it is that you do. Like, that's exactly
how like you're making fun of the person.
No, yeah, for sure. They were like, I also like really freaked them out right away. Like, they come in and I'm there first and they sit down and they're talking to me. And they're like, and yeah, like someone like you, like you're short. And I was like, oh, you think I'm short? And they were like, oh my God, no, sorry. I just meant like kind of like in relation to me, but I don't know how to. And I was like, totally fucking with you. I'm 4'11". Like, honestly, didn't really even put them at ease.
This is also us hard launching Jules is 4'11".
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys actually understand that and can comprehend that fully.
So immediately I've got them on edge, you know?
I'm 6 foot.
Right. You are 6 foot. You're 6 foot.
Ladies.
Wait, have you seen that TikTok where it's like a guy and he shoots pool and like it goes perfectly and then he turns around and he goes, I'm 6'4", by the way.
Yeah, yeah. That's so good. That is me.
I still think I kind of killed it, though.
She's so back.
No, they were like really open up to me. They were like, I was really scared for this date. And I was like, oh my God, why? They're like, well, I listened to one episode of your podcast and you seemed very
batshit.
They didn't say batshit. They were just like, you seemed like you had a really strong personality. And then the second I sat down on the date, you caught me off guard with a really off-putting joke. And yeah. I just sort of felt like I...
Dude, that's the thing is that this podcast is not representative of like how you act 90% of the time.
Yeah.
It's just how you act with me.
No, exactly. Because they kind of got there probably thinking I was going to be like, yeah, yeah. And then I was just kind of like...
Oh, hi.
No, I wasn't like that.
I read a book and hung out and drink tea in my house.
I was being like...
Hi, my name is Friday. My pronouns are they, them. Jules, what do I look like?
You look like a cherry. You look like a little cherry.
Oh, thank you.
And your legs are the stems and your top is the cherry.
Okay, nice.
And yeah, you just look like I want to put you in a little ice cream sundae.
In a Shirley Temple.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want a Shirley Temple so bad.
I've never had a Shirley Temple.
What?
Yeah, because I don't
it's
soda.
It's like a Sprite.
Yeah, and I don't like soda. Hi, my name is Jules. My pronouns are she, they. What do I look like right now?
You look like you are playing the bartender in a movie that turns into the love interest, for sure.
Wow.
And it's written by a man, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like you're
It's like a Judd Apatow movie.
You're like, all right, didn't know you fuckers would be drinking today.
Am I gay or
That's your opening line. You're bi. You're bi. You have to be into the men just enough.
Yeah.
But like when you're listing off your exes, you know, you're like, there's Joey and Michael and Chris and Sandra and Harrison. And then literally they're like, wait, Sandra. And they kind of look at each other. And that's the only time your queerness is addressed.
Got it.
Yeah.
Aside from me being an obvious dyke.
Yes. Aside from the visible lesbian
looking
appearance.
Looking like someone who would net. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Please. Sorry. You know what we really normalize on this podcast?
What?
Being like incredibly not chill and insane.
Yeah.
And I think that that is so good and so important, and let me say why.
Okay.
First of all, what are you staring at out the window?
I'm really high. So I was just looking at these people out here, but I'm with you. I'm listening 100%.
You're just also kind of experiencing
I'm also
their
just,
life
like,
with
astral
them.
Astral projecting out into that street. I'm like, my body's out there like.
I am just like an earpiece in your ear speaking to you. But
I
outside,
knew this would happen.
Outside you're dancing in the sun.
Wait, can I
Do you
say
see what
one
I mean?
Thing?
This is me sending emails. I'm like, yeah. Sending emails, but in my mind, I'm like,
wait, can I say one thing?
Please.
That I did to Becca this week.
What'd you do to Becca?
So I take these like long walks every day, as I've said.
Yeah.
And Becca lives in my neighborhood, and I always pass their house and car. And I know what their car looks like because they always drive us to this podcast. So I passed by their car this week and I took a picture of it and I edited on like the windows being shattered. And at first I was like, I'm just going to send it as that and be like, hey, dude, just walk by your car. Like, but then I looked at it and I was like, it looks too real. I can't.
I know.
No, exactly. And I was like, I can't.
And Becca's gullible.
So
and
what'd you do with love?
With love, I put Shrek on top of the car as well. I was like, what can I add so they really will only freak out for like half a second?
Right.
I put Shrek on there and then I sent them a message and I put, hey, exclamation point, just walk by your car. Not sure if anybody's told you this has happened yet.
It's so messed up, dude.
It was so scary because I was on my laptop and I only saw the text. I didn't see the picture.
Okay. So Becca was on their laptop and only saw the text, not the picture.
Which kind of best case scenario for me because I didn't do
it.
Yeah, it's exactly. But not because of my doing. Because of you and being on the laptop. You know, not because of my editing skills.
Right.
Not because of your editing.
Right.
We'll upload the photo to Gay They Podcast Instagram.
Please check it out.
I was laughing. I was with my friend out to lunch as I was doing it. And I was laughing so hard making it. My friend was like, wow, you really crack yourself up, huh? And I'm making it. I was just like, Becca's gonna freak out at this.
Dude, that was literally me making a TikTok of my cat this week. I was scream laughing by myself making it. And then Ted got home and I sprinted over and was like, look at this video of Francis. And he was like, oh, that's really funny, babe. And I was like, right. I was rolling on the floor laughing. Literally.
Yeah.
We got a DM from you guys that says, is there truly a mask shortage? Jules, thoughts?
I feel, I don't know. I mean, the thing that everybody says when you say that is they're like, well, the masks are dating all the masks. You know what I mean? They're like, love, we're just dating each other.
Love
which,
that
yes, I think that's probably part of it. And I think that
that's part of the problem.
It's part of the huge issue.
Is D for D, mask for mask, butch for
We've
butch.
We've got to stop that. First things first, get it to the bottom of it. It's not natural.
No.
Kidding, of course.
No, I love that. It's true. I think we actually have more masks than ever in rotation. Okay. I think we have more masks than ever because because of like TikTok, now like being masked is a thing people talk about. And for some reason, people are fucking terrified of the word butch. I mean, I know why, historical contexts, right? But butch is not a bad word. Mwah. We love butches here at Gay Day Podcast. But because of like the rise of like TikTok masks, I feel like it's more popular than ever to be a mask. So those masks that just like never make the jump to looking mask now are making the jump to looking mask.
Interesting.
Like, you know, those masks that like are wearing like kind of like a flowy pantsuit and have like long hair, but you're like, that is literally a full butch lesbian who just hasn't figured out their style.
Yeah, you know, when you meet someone and you're like, in 2 months, you're going to look totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before, like, that used to like extend for, that used to be a really long phase in many masks and butches' lives.
However,
nowadays, it's like, get to it.
Yeah.
Let's get a mullet. Let's get you in some Dickies and let's put you to work.
That is a pro of TikTok and social media is like
more representation.
Yeah, higher exposure.
Representation in the hands of the people. Let's rank the different ways to smoke weed.
Okay.
/ ingest weed.
Okay, let's do it. What's your number one?
My number one is a joint.
My number one is a joint as well.
Hand-rolled joint, not a pre-roll.
I'll do a pre-roll. I know they're not. No. I mean, again, I'm sure there's like toxic waste in there. But like,
there's active sewage.
No.
In the pre-rolls I buy from the deli.
But I am not really I'm not an expert yet at rolling joints. My joints are still pretty shitty. Mm-hmm. And sometimes like, also one joint will last me 3 weeks.
I frequently smoke 4 joints a day.
That is so wild.
It's like, light it, suck it down alone. Can't express that enough. Alone.
That would put me in the hospital. Seriously. One of them. And the fact that you have 4, like, it's really impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
So yeah, joints number one for me. Number two for me is I just started smoking weed with like a little piece. Mm-hmm. What are those called?
Yeah, a piece, a bowl.
A bowl. Mm-hmm. I started smoking weed with a bowl in college, and so that feels close to home, close to my heart.
I would say coming in second for me is a bubbler.
Okay.
A bubbler
is... I don't know if I've ever used a bubbler.
Oh my God, let's go buy one literally today and smoke it. Like, a bubbler is so nice. It's kind of like a baby bong. It's smooth and just kind of like requires a little less than a bong.
Sure.
Gives a little less than a bong.
That's what I like.
Third for me, I'm going to say, is pen. Love the Penjamin. Pennifer Lopez.
Third for me, I mean, if we're speaking in like frequency of how often I smoke these, third for me is also pen, but pen's...
No, this is just favorite.
Okay. Then my next favorite is probably a bong.
Okay.
You know, for me, also been smoking that since college. Consistently gets me way too high, but as do most of these.
Yeah, I would say fourth for me is bong. I mean, unless it's a gorgeous bong. My bong's really nice, but it just takes a lot. It takes a lot of, like, cleaning and, like, I just, the consistency with which I smoke, I can't keep up with a bong.
Yeah. Coming in dead last for me, regardless of what else we can think of right now, is an edible.
Yeah.
I don't care if it says 1 milligram. I'm going to be high for 14 hours.
I don't like edibles, but I have been having to find an edible renaissance because my lungs are giving out on me at this point in my life.
Mm.
At this point in my life, on any given day, I like can't speak and I'm like in the fetal position coughing. So I would say that I need some time away from smoking weed and also, so yeah, I'm trying to have an edible renaissance. Camino Edibles, please sponsor us. I'm obsessed with your product. I just yum 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 on them every single day.
One of the scariest days of my life was my junior year of college, and I had an edible that was made by somebody at a house that I was at.
It was me. I made the edible. Do you remember? The one on the graham cracker? Yeah.
No, was that on Chili Fest?
Yes, dude. It was me.
What? That was you?
Yes, it murdered you.
See, this is what I mean. Yeah, I don't even remember that was you. I remember because I went to a party.
It was you and one other person, and you guys split it, and both of you the next day were like, Friday, I'm actively mad at you.
We thought we were going to die.
You both like had panic attacks and thought you were going to die, and yeah. I was just like, literally, oopsie poopsie. I took one myself and was having a great time.
Wild. Well, the year prior, I also had a homemade edible. Also at Chili Fest. Chili Fest was this thing in our college town where all the stores would make a different kind of chili.
Yeah.
You walk downtown, you can sample all the chilies. Beautiful. I never made it to Chili Fest because I consistently, for some reason, I would have an edible like once a year and it would be on Chili Fest.
That's perfect. I also took an edible and had an amazing time. Do you know how good it is to have a tiny cup of 25 different chilies when you're so, so, so high?
I was not at that level.
Because it's not like they're giving you full bowls of chili. They're each giving you like a chili sample. So literally you just have so many different chilies.
Yeah.
And all your teachers are there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You run into all your professors, everyone you know. And I do remember.
I'm like, Professor! You gotta try this chili. I love interacting with people when I'm high.
My first year that this happened, which was sophomore year when you made the edibles, I walked down with my friend who split the edible with me and it hadn't hit us yet. And we're like, this is great. And then it hit us and we were there. And I remember we ran into our other friend's mom. And I just like, I was acting like a fucking alien to her. And I got so freaked out and she thought something was wrong for sure. And then she leaves and walks away. And then I look at my friend that I was with and I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here. I turn around, I start full sprint running out of Chili Fest. And what you need to know about the downtown of our college town, it's at like the base of a huge hill.
Yes, you're just running uphill.
Everybody lives so on the top of the hill. I was wearing Dansko clogs, sprinting up this hill because I was like, I can't be near anyone right now. And the other thing is, like, if you asked me to run from one side of the street to the other, and I'm not a runner. I'm a terrible runner. I sprint, full sprint upward to the point that the next day, while that day was horrifying and I'll never get that time back, I to myself sort of thought, I should take these and go to the gym because I have super strength on them. I should take these and get jacked as fuck, but I unfortunately couldn't. It was too scary.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. That's what weed does for me all the time. It gives me super strength. Like, if I need to clean my room, I'll just, like, start smoking because then I'm up, like, folding clothes, like, doing the salsa. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like a sim.
Okay, yeah. I think I just maybe take it a little too far, or it's just the lack of control really gets me.
You need to grow up.
Damn. Well, all right.
I've been through that phase too. Edibles used to make me really scared. And now now I'm stronger than the fear.
My other thing is that's beautiful.
Yeah. I am so powerful mentally. Okay, this question says, is there a twink death for lesbians? I think the true answer is no. Because have you ever seen an older lesbian?
Hot.
Oh, my God.
So hot.
Older lesbians just get hotter. Because I'm just like, how did you get here? Can you hold me?
Honestly, every lesbian I know that I've spoken to has been like, one of my goals is to have sex with an older woman.
No, you're right. Any old lesbian, if you're kind of into like a weird, twinky little non-binary guy, like, please hit my line. I love you. I love you. I don't think there's a twink death for lesbians.
What's the oldest person you ever had sex with?
I've not had sex with that people that are that much older than me, really. Hoping for it.
Yeah, no.
Looking forward to it.
Crossed, for sure.
Jules, queer book rec. Someone's asking for queer book recs.
I don't have my phone on me. That's what it means right there. But queer book recs. books I've read recently that are queer. I just read... Here's my thing. Did anyone here read the fucking My Year... You haven't read it. Did you read My Year of Best... Okay. For those of you who did read that, that's like the book I see so many people... And that's not a queer book, by the way, but... People, like, being really obsessed by that style of writing. They're like, I just love really, like, fucked up female characters. And, like, the premise of this book is this girl who decides to, like, take a year off life and just be, like, drugged out of her mind for a year. And obviously a ton of things go really wrong. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a grimy book. And it's, like, there's this, like, really interesting, like, glorification around that right now. Mm-hmm. And, like, it really... I don't know. Everyone's just like, wow, you like really tapped into the female experience. Like,
right.
You haven't.
Is she even a girl boss? Is she even an entrepreneur?
We need to be writing more about female entrepreneurs.
Is she even an entrepreneur? How many businesses does she own? We need to start the gay and they test. That's like kind of like the Bechdel test, but just for like if there's enough girl bossery in a certain story. My favorite queer book recommendation is my Instagram story.
Totally.
Okay. Friday is funky on Instagram.
Where I was going with all of that is that the most recent queer book that I read was The Big Swiss. Have you read it?
I haven't yet.
Okay, it's queer. It's great that it's queer. And I will say, I guess the character's a little more complex than the one in the My Year of Rest and Relaxation. But like, I just don't know if writing about somebody who like... is really fucked up and like hurts people. I can't stop hurting people. I'm not sure if that is as brilliant and like deep as we think it is.
No, literally.
I think it's probably a lot harder to write a complex character that like experiences joy.
Or like is accountable for their actions.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know about all that. But the best queer book that I've read recently. The best queer book that I've read recently is Homebodies. It is by an author who lives in Queens. I believe it's her debut novel. And it literally is so... Oh, it's like the perfect mix of somebody trying to be like relating to sort of like Gen Z culture and like what's happening in the social media wave right now without sounding like a AI robot being like, LOL, queen, dot, dot, dot. You know what I mean? Like it's written in this way where I'm like, wow. And it's about somebody who gets into a media job, a black woman who goes into a media job and then faces like racism and sees how also all these media jobs are fucked up and gets fired and then takes a stance and like sort of is like the whistleblower of.
Wait, are you spoiling it?
No, that's like in the first, that's very early on.
Oh, okay.
And then the rest of the book is like her dealing with the aftermath and
cracking the case.
And she's a lesbian, and there's a really complicated, like, love arc as well that feels really real in a really wild way. It's really great. Yeah. And it's a new author, and I think that's great. Anyway.
Wait, what's it called again?
Homebodies.
Okay.
Tembe Denton Hurst, I believe is her name.
Would you say you have an anxious attachment style?
I think sometimes I'm the most evilly avoidant person in the world, and then sometimes I'm evilly anxiously attached. So whichever one is worse in that moment is usually what I'm displaying.
No, absolutely. I am not avoidant at all.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a very anxious attachment style.
Ancient.
I always say anxious wrong and weird
you do.
Too.
You do.
Thank you so much.
but I like it. You say
anxious.
No, that's the right way.
Really?
You usually say anxious.
Wait. No, I say anxiety.
Right. You say anxiety.
Anxiety.
You're, like, you're having bad anxiety.
How do you say it?
Anxiety.
Anxiety? Where's the G?
No, you're right.
Where's the G, baby?
No, you are anxiety. Reading it as spelled anxiety. How do you say it?
Anxiety.
Where's the G? Where the hell is the G, bitches? Okay, so I'm a really anxiously avoidant person. And I know there's people who are socialized as girls... And especially people who are socialized as girls who dated men in formative years all have this very specific shared experience that I have to talk about right now.
Oh, shit.
you start dating a guy very casually or seriously, whatever. You start a relationship or a situationship with a guy. At the beginning, he's obsessed with you. He's blowing up your phone. He's all over you. At a certain point, he completely removes his energy from you. Completely. Boom. Snap. Gone. And it's like, hey, is everything okay? Like, are we good? You seem really different. And the guy's like, no, I'm fine. I'm just really tired. And then so you go home and you're like banging your head on the wall, like freaking out, being like, stop being so fucking crazy. God, you're so crazy. Like looking in the mirror, gaslighting yourself, being like, I'm just insane. Nothing's wrong. And then you start acting kind of anxious because he won't give you any energy or validation or anything anymore. And then you start acting clingy and he breaks up with you and says, it's because you're acting clingy. But really what happened is that he got over the relationship but didn't want to be the one to break up with you. So instead just made you act crazy and then blamed it on that. Mm. Everyone I know has this experience. And I don't think it's just exclusive to like straight relationships. I think it definitely happens in gay relationships too. And what it comes from is people not being able to be honest with themselves and then not being able to be honest with the person they're dating. Like, I feel like especially guys like don't want to be the bad guy, and so they get out of the relationship by making you act bad, by literally gaslighting you and making you act poorly by being really like aloof and avoidant, and then blaming it on that. And this is exactly what happened on Love is Blind with Jimmy and Chelsea.
Yeah, for real. I do think Chelsea was being pushed to her absolute limits.
No, Jimmy didn't like her from the moment he saw her, but he's like, hey, there is fucking cameras on me right now.
Yeah.
I am going to act like I love this girl, say all the right things in front of the camera, not mean any of it, have no energy for it. That's what she knew. It was different in the pods, because mm-hmm. in the pods, he was obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
He got out of the pods. He wasn't obsessed with her. He saw the other girl he could have been with, wanted to be with her more, and then literally just was retracting his energy from her until she started acting out of pocket crazy pants.
Yeah.
And then he was like, it's because...
You're crazy.
Because you're crazy.
Yeah. No, that's so true. I wonder who's done that to me. Sure, somebody.
Like, definitely. That's exactly...
Well, that's sorry. What I was going to say.
Definitely Stinkatunia.
That's what I was going to say. I think I've only dated a woman who's done that to me.
I've dated... Really intensely. I've dated a woman who's done that to me, too.
Yeah. I literally was dating this girl who... We were, like, out to dinner one night, and she was being... Just on her phone. And I was like, what's with the phone? Can we please, like, can you put your fucking phone down?
Yeah, she pulled her energy from you.
Yeah.
Stopped giving you attention and was just like, it's just because of work. It's just work.
Yeah. And then we're leaving dinner and she had to go home. And as we're walking to the train, she's like, so do you really think that, because I had said no to this, do you really think, like, September is too soon? Like, I can't take you on vacation in September and propose. And I was like, no, you can't. I'm not getting engaged right now. And she was like, oh, okay, I'll wait, whatever. Broke up with me that night over the phone, over text.
Yeah.
We'd been together for like a year.
Yeah.
And then was like, eventually it came out. She was like, I've been deeply resenting you for months. And I was like, got it.
Yeah, people don't know how to be honest with themselves about how they feel. And they don't know how to be honest with their partner. And it's doing everyone a crazy disservice.
Yeah.
Jules, tell me, do you have a fear of the week?
My fear of the week is slipping back into old habits. Because old habits die hard.
For real.
I am so happy right now. Like, I feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the first time in what feels like years, like mm-hmm. these past couple of weeks. And my therapist said it today, too. My therapist was like, you've had a complete vibe shift in the last, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I've lost so much of my anxiety.
It's because you stopped dating people who treat you shit.
So that's what I mean by old habits.
And when someone treats you badly, you immediately break up with them. You immediately stop seeing someone when they treat you badly. That's
the huge answer.
Shift. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what my therapist said.
Yeah.
My therapist was like, for the first time, like, you have been cutting people off.
To build your self-worth, because you're like, oh, no, I'm worth more than that.
Yeah.
Because even if you think, oh, I'm worth more than that in your head, but you keep allowing that behavior to happen, that's like telling your body that you're not.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm just worried that, I just hope this version of myself sticks around. My fear is that she's going to head on an 8-week vacation or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'll do something crazy.
My fear of the week is that I'm going to paint my office the wrong color. You guys, I was going to paint my office green. I bought all the green paint. And then I saw Victoria Paris post a thing about her painting her living room red. And I was like, wait, maybe I should do that. And then in the comments, someone was like, it would look really nice green. And then Victoria responded saying, green's overrated. And I was like, holy shit. So it sent me into a spiral.
You got really influenced. You then decided you wanted to do it maroon and you were trying to find a color to pair it with.
Yeah.
And the one that you sent into our group chat, our friend was like, it's giving Gryffindor.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, that's giving Gryffindor.
And it was
Gryffindor.
It's giving, like, I don't know anything about Harry Potter, but even when I looked at it, I was like, that's, looks like Harry Potter.
No, for real.
So you're stressed about picking Harry Potter colors,
which is so valid. I'm just really stressed about, I just want to paint my office a really nice color, and I'm having, like, decision paralysis, and I'm, like, halfway through this lease, and I'm really hoping to renew, but they could spike up the rent, so it's, like, kind of now or never, and I'm just, like, I want it to be a space I'm really excited to be in. I want it to be inspiring, because right now, the white walls are just not doing it for me, and I'm agonizing over it.
I know. Well, you sent this really sad text in the group chat last night.
I was, like, I can't do this anymore.
You said you were, like, I can't do anything right. Literally nothing. And I was like, hey, we'll find the right colors, bud.
No, I've really been like it's crying over you. It.
It's so okay. It's hard. I mean, like, it's hard.
Would you guys come to a paint store with me one time? Really?
Yeah.
In the Ace Hardware where they ignore you in my area. They will not talk to you in the Ace Hardware. You have to like beg them. Be like, please, please help me.
Please look at me. Look at me.
You, we clawed, we chained our hearts in vain, the rum, never asking why. We kissed and fell under your spell in love, no never could deny. Don't you ever say I just walked away, I will always love you. I came in like a wrecking ball. I never hit so hard in love. All I wanted was to break your walls. All you ever did was wreck me. I came in like a wrecking ball. You never hit so hard in love.
Thank you guys so much.
All I wanted was to break your walls. All you ever did was wreck me.
It's really good. Gay and They is a Fruit House production.
1 of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.